Welcome to Once Lost and Found More. For those of you who are returning, thank you for returning. For those of you who prayed for me from last week's episode and what I had to say, I would like to say thank you. This week has been different since that time. There's been things that have taken place that has allowed me to shift my focus back to where it should be. And I just got done venting out some of the anger that I have towards what I'm going to be talking about today, and that's hardened hearts. And it's one of those things that I'm not the best at explaining at times, but I'm going to give it a shot. So here we go. Hardened hearts. Jesus has a big thing about it. He really doesn't pull any punches. He makes a couple of references where he's talking about divorce with Moses, and people are saying, you know, what do you have to say about divorce? And Jesus said, well, that was given to Moses because of the hardness of your hearts. And what's crazy is that what that literally means is that your inability to care for the other person in the fashion of which you were designed to do. That is what a hardened heart is. Someone who is unable to care for another person in the fashion with which they are designed to do. We are all designed to care for each other. Somewhere along the way, we lost that. Society has programmed you into thinking about no one other than yourself and getting everything that you can out of this life for yourself. And that's a true thing. It's a sad thing, but it's a true thing. Because honestly, think back to when you were a kid. You didn't care about any of that. The only thing you cared about was having as much fun with whoever else was around you and never looking down on them because that didn't matter. You didn't care what kind of shoes they wore, what their clothes looked like. You just cared about enjoying being with them because they made you happy. But as time progresses and your social hierarchy starts to develop and you start to come into the understanding that your family has more than other people, well, then that book creates what I like to call a popularity hierarchy. Because now you understand that I have more than you. I can have more than you. I can be more than you because of it. So I'm going to look down on you now. And unfortunately, you probably were friends with some of the people back when you were children, well before this moment of clarity hit you about who your family or who it is that you're going to be in the future and how it's going to be entirely different from what it has been up to the present. In that moment, when that happened, your life shifted, and not for the better. Sorry, it was not for the better, because you were alienated and you left behind people that once cared for you and that you once cared for. It's like you turned on a switch and lost all your ability to feel any kind of care for them. That's called a hardened heart. Because somewhere along the way, you feel like it was going to make you look bad if you were still friends with them. But you had a whole lot of experiences and a whole lot of memories with this person from your childhood. But that doesn't matter because in my future, I'm not going to have those memories from my childhood. Guess what? You still do, don't you? Isn't that crazy? You thought you would be able to forget your childhood, but there are those moments where something crosses your mind. You remember hanging out with someone that you haven't spoken to in 40 years because your social hierarchy doesn't allow it. And you don't even care where they're at. It might cross your mind to say, I wonder where they are every once in a blue moon. But then that just as quickly as it enters your mind, it fleets away. And that is the world that we have become so accustomed to. A hardened heart world is normal. The lack of loving each other is normal. The ability to lift up ourselves and to push other people down is accepted. It's the standard now. And that is not how this is ever supposed to have been designed to function. We're supposed to be able to work as a group and work as a team and to work in a fashion where we're all able to move in the same direction. And we all have the same amount, and we all have the same amount of lives. And I'm not talking about socialism, because I'm definitely not for any of that. But what I do mean is not letting anyone falter or fail, but to lift them up and to find their strengths and to help them improve in those areas so that they can contribute in the fashion with which they were designed to do. But we don't want to do that either, because we have hardened hearts. And I'm not sure exactly why that's taking place, except for the fact that it is acceptable, And this is what we do. Why? Why do we do this? One of the reasons that it could be possible as to why this is how we think is because we have this pride in ourselves that elevates us in our own eyes above other people. There's a very high possibility of that being real. And here's what I'm trying to say about it. Look at it like this. In Proverbs 21, it says, "Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked, are sin." It's rough to hear something like that and know that this is exactly what's being said about the generation with which we find ourselves in and how acceptable it is to live this way. And in this proverb, it's stating it as if, plain and simple, it's sin to live like this. It's sin to live in this fashion. You are legitimately living against God when you live this way. And then you wonder why people will go, I wonder why that person just can't seem to be as happy as other people can be. Now, there are other people out there who are in a complete different state of mind. But what is it that's it's in their state of mind? Because those people have a whole different way of seeing life. Those people are probably my brothers and sisters, and they're the ones that are actually living the life that God asks us to live. And what's crazy is that in Proverbs 21, just before this verse that I just read, is a little bit different of a statement. It says, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart." Okay, so when we as Christians were trying to figure out our lives, but before we became Christians, we were like everyone else. And our way was right. Our way was right. Just like the people who are not followers of Christ, they believe that their way is right too. They do believe it. But the God that we believe in has a different point of view. He says this, "I weigh the heart." Weigh the heart. God doesn't really get upset with us when we try to make our own plans. He just goes, "Hey, man, no, don't do that. Because I have this whole other thing for you to do. So don't do that one." Or if you're in that state where you're like, "Okay, I'm making this plan. And then something just pops in your head and says, "Did you think to ask me first?" So God is literally saying to you, "Hey, I need your help with you paying attention to me right now. I really need you to pay attention to me." And when that starts to happen for you, it's because God sees your heart and knows who you are. And he already has your life figured out in the direction that is best for you and will give you the best possible outcome for the life that you are trying to grab a hold of and live. The problem with us as human beings is we want it now. And I am not going to lie to you. I am right there in that boat sometimes. It's taken me a while to calm down and allow God to show me things and to put things in place so that I don't have to worry so much about what it is he's trying to do. It sometimes gets a little bit messy, but he really does take a minute and says, "Hey, I'm going to give you something down the road, but you have to be patient. Or I'm going to show you this one of these days, but you have to keep seeking." Because he knows your heart. He knows my heart. He knows your heart. He knows our hearts. And so when we try to make plans, we try to do these things, and we're doing it in our own arrogance and our own state of understanding, we're not really walking in any way, shape, or form after God's heart. We are still walking in a form of a hardened heart. And we need to go ahead and just kill that and start asking God, "Okay, God, what is it that you have planned for me? Help me to find it. Help me to put that into its proper place so that I can find my way to you and do what it is that you've designed me to do so that I can bring you the glory that you are due." I could probably put that in a rap song, actually. Anyway, so I'm walking down this road with God. We come into a place where we have to come into a submissive state with him to better understand these things. And we're able to come into a submissive state to him and just surrender everything and say, "You know what? You really do know better than me. I'm cool. I'm going to stand in awe of you. I'm going to follow your ways. I'm going to be who you made me to be in the beginning, to the best of my ability." When we get to that place, Proverbs 28, verse 14 says this, blessed is the one who fears the Lord always. Now that's the first part of it. But since we're talking about hardened hearts, there obviously has to be a second part that applies. And here's what it says. But whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Now that's a really old school $64 word, calamity. What calamity means, a disaster or misfortune, especially one that causes extreme distress, misery, or havoc. So in other words, I'm just going to put it in today's words, you just went up the creek without a paddle, and it's just never going to cease to get worse, because as you keep going, you're going to have a more terrible day, followed by a more terrible day, followed by a more terrible day, until you probably become a person who is in a constant state of depression and has extreme anxiety and fears everything in their own shadow, and you have no idea how to get out of it because your heart is hardened and you don't believe in anything other than the pain and the suffering and the fear that you live in. Those are the only things that you really believe in because those are the things that you know, so they become comfortable. And so your hardened heart becomes a normality to you, and that place where you're supposed to be searching for the answer from the creator that made you. Instead, you're searching for that answer inside yourself and you're coming up with nothing. And when you come up with nothing and you look at your situation and you go, this should not be my situation. This should be better. I should be doing more. I should be someplace else. Why? Why should you be? Because you've placed yourself in a perpetual state of nowhere, except for pain and suffering and heartache, calamity. You've brought havoc. You brought disaster. And it's not just regular disaster. I want you to understand what this definition really states. Extreme disaster. That's crazy. It goes so far to make that a whole other, it makes it a whole other way of seeing it. It's not just disaster. It's extreme disaster. Extreme misery. An extreme havoc. It's so bad. In other words, it's all the way the best of the worst days of your life. Boom, 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 boom. I'm sorry that I'm laughing, but boom, 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 boom. It's all bad. And to be honest, it's all bad. So having a hardened heart in this world and it being pretty much the norm, think about that for a minute. All these people who look so happy on the surface underneath, they're probably not very happy at all. They probably have fears that they don't want to tell you about, or they cover it up with a great smile, or they cover it up with their awesome charisma, or they cover it up with their ability to BS you really well. But underneath it, they're probably afraid. Underneath, they're not quite sure what they're doing. Underneath, they're in a place of perpetual hurt, and they don't know why. But they know that there's something missing and they can't put their finger on it. And here, I'll give you all a hint. It's you have a hardened heart and you're not paying attention to that fact. The only fact that you're paying attention to is that you have to get yours. You have to focus on your life and you don't have any time for introspective thought that has any kind of worth. Because if you have a moment for introspective thought that has any kind of worth, then you're really going to start wondering where God is. And then when you start wondering where God is, and you're going to start wondering, why am I even wondering where God is? And you start wondering why you're wondering where God is, then you're probably going to grab your Bible. What's so wrong with that, actually? What's so wrong with that? Why would you not want to do that? What causes you to be afraid to do that? Is it against your moral code? I have a little hint for you. If you have a hardened heart, your moral code's already trash. Your moral code's already trash. So you're not, that's not why. Well, because it's not the end thing to do. Well, as far as I understand it, it's not ever really been the end thing to do for the last 200 years, if I understand it correctly. It daggum sure hasn't been the end thing to do for the last 20. That's for absolute certainty. Okay, it's not the end thing to do. I wonder if that's really going to matter to God when you stand before him. Well, God, you know, I really wanted to read my Bible and get to know who you are and draw closer to you and be a better human being like you designed me to be, but it just wasn't the popular thing to do at the time. I wonder if God's just going to look at you and go, did you really just say that to me? You know, I know he's not going to say that. I know he's definitely not going to say that. But if he was to say something like that, it would quite literally blow my mind. And I would start laughing just like I just did, because I wouldn't know what else to do. I would just start laughing. It's still funny to me. Did you really just say that to me? Oh, man. But it's not funny. It really isn't, because that would be your excuse. And that's asinine. That doesn't even make any sense. Like, on the scale of 1 to 10, of 1 being extremely dumb and 10 being one of the smartest things ever said by anyone ever, that would be a minus 5. It's a minus 5. Because that's not a good reason in any way that makes reality make sense. It's actually got me a little dumbfounded. I don't even know why someone would come up with that, but it's not the end thing to do. That's why you're not reading your Bible. Because if you read your Bible, then you're part of that whole Christian philosophy. Christian philosophy. Well, and that's not the first time I've heard that. I'm not just making that up. There is this thing that people are now saying is just Christian philosophy. Okay, you're right. Well, look, the truth is, the reason you're not opening your Bible is because you don't want to know God. Because your heart is hardened towards knowing God. There's probably a reason for that. You probably have church hurt, or the people that have supposed to have been Christians around you have hurt you in ways that you don't really know how to express correctly. Or you've never been put in a place where you've actually learned that love is a give-give. And I said before, someone once told me, love is give and give. It isn't give and take. When I heard him say it, like I said before, it was like, what'd you say? But over these last months, it's been longer than that, actually. Well, since that was said, I've really reflected on it a great deal. And even in the last one where I said this, I'll repeat it again, because it bears repeating. That's 100% correct. It is give and give. But do we understand that if a person has a hardened heart, and another person doesn't, that there's a blockage there, that one of you is going to take more than you give, and the other one is going to feel like they've been robbed in some fashion, because all they're doing is giving, and all the other one is doing is taking. And every once in a while, they give just enough to keep the other person in a place where they want to continue to give to them, but they're really not getting anything out of that person's giving. They're not catching on to it. Now, God forbid you have two hardened heart people interacting with each other. Well, that's just what I would call hypocrisy in motion, because you're never going to be real with each other. It's impossible. One of you is going to lie to the other, and the other is going to lie just for the simple fact that they know you're lying, or vice versa. And that's really going to amount to nothing other than neither one of you have anything real to base anything on. And that's sad. That means you just spent all that time being completely fake, and you gained nothing out of the entire relationship whatsoever. You gained nothing. It was a waste of time. But the good news is it didn't hurt you any, because your heart's already hardened, so you don't really feel much anyway. It's so bad. I'm sorry that I said that, but it's also very true. It's also very true. Because see, when a person has a hardened heart, they don't feel like everyone else feels. And to be honest, there are times where I am afraid that I'm getting close to being like that. And I've even stated before that my heart is dead, and I gave it to God and said, here, I can't use this anymore. There's no purpose for it, so you take it. But in exchange, I would like you to give me yours. And I believe that he actually has. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. But I don't think that I'm capable of using my heart anymore, because it's just been mutilated too terribly. It's too many years of too much damage. So I don't want to use it anymore. So I just gave it to God, and he gave me his heart, and I praise him for that. Because I don't want to get to a place where I have a hardened heart. Because I know what it costs. I know how hard it is to bring a hardened heart back from that state. Matter of fact, I have something that I wrote down because it came to my mind when I was thinking about doing this, and I praise God that he put this in my mind. And this is basically no, there's no better way for me to say it. Let's just say it this way. There's no better way for me to say it than this. It is hard to break a hardened heart and return it to a heart of flesh. It is easier to break a heart of flesh and cause it to become a heart of stone. So be extremely careful with someone's heart, especially when they entrust their heart to you. You have the ability to either cause it to be a heart alive and full of wonder, or to turn it into a heart made of granite, cold, and unfeeling. This is what we can do to each other. We can either lift people up, show them the love that they're trying to show to us, or return a love that you don't even think is possible. Or you can cause them, maybe you're not the exact source of it, but how you've treated them and what has happened between you and that person has just added another brick underneath the foundation that is starting to wrap around their heart until it finally settles in and it becomes one giant prison, really. And eventually that prison will suffocate the flesh and your heart will just become like the walls that surround it. It will just become a stone. Maybe you're not to blame for all of it, but maybe you were the last brick it needed. And that's never good, no matter how you cut what pie. Causing a person's heart of flesh to be broken and turn it into a heart of stone, it might very well be the most terrible thing that you can do to someone. And the sad thing is most people in this world, when they do it, don't even care that they're doing it. They don't even care. Because in their mind, they're rationalizing the idea that I am able to take this and move on with my life now because this person has moved out of my life in a fashion that now I feel I can move on with mine. And I am at peace finally. And it doesn't matter that they're destroyed inside. It doesn't matter that part of them is broken and irreparable. None of that matters, just because I've gotten what I want and I'm going to be able to move on with my life and feel absolutely no regret or no remorse and never have to apologize for anything. It's awesome. I'm good. And that's your society. Those are the people you surround yourself with. The majority of them think this way. They just won't say it out loud. I have no reason to lie and I have no reason to hide anything. And I'm daggum sure not going to pull any punches. That's the society you live in. They just won't say it out loud. And then there are the people that aren't this way. A very small group of people. Remember back in the Bible where when Jesus was walking around, it said multitudes, but the number in the multitudes was never really fully given until it started being numbered the 4,000 and the 5,000. So Jesus was feeding 4,000 people who came to listen, and Jesus also fed 5,000 people who came to listen. And in Israel at the time, there was probably over 4 or 5 million people in just that area alone. So 4 or 5 thousand people coming to hear you speak out of 4 or 5 million is a very small number of people. And in those very small number of people, they have hearts of flesh. I'm sure they've been broken, but Jesus has this amazing thing where he heals it. All you have to do is cry out to him and say, I can't bear this hardened heart. I don't want to have one. But my heart is breaking and I feel it moving into a place where I'm going to have a hardened heart. Please don't allow that to happen to me. And Jesus really is a loving and caring God. He's like, I see you going through it. And I see that you're in so much pain. And I know that you're afraid that you're going to become cold. And I see that you don't want to be that. So I'm going to give you some comfort. I'm going to give you some peace. And I'm going to help you understand why you had to go through what you went through. It's going to make you stronger. It's going to build character in you. You're going to be in a different place when you understand it and the way that I explain it to you. So do not worry about it right now, because in time it will all make sense. Just know that I'm carrying you because I know that you can't carry this anymore. That's the kind of God that we have. That is really who our God is. For people who don't know who he is, for people who have no concept of why we follow him, for people who have no interest in believing in a man who died on a cross to save you from yourself so that you would not have to find out what Lucifer is going to have to endure for eternity by standing there beside him in it. And if you do not want to stand in a place where the nightmarish thing that you can't possibly fathom is your eternity, then you need to come to understand that that Savior that died upon that cross loved you more than anyone in the history of your life. No one has ever loved you that much. Ever. No one. Unless someone literally died to keep you alive, then you can say that there was someone else that did the exact same thing. And for that, and for those people, I would like to say, it must be hard. But know that that person loved you enough to give their life. That's how important you were to them. That's how important each and every one of the people on this earth are to the Son of God. And we kind of take advantage of it in this world. Some of us don't. I try every day not to come anywhere close to taking advantage of it. The thing about it is you have to understand that this love that we talk about, this missing element that we think that we don't need in our lives, is the very thing that is required in our lives. Without it, you really don't know or understand the word love that you claim to use so freely and that you believe that you understand so easily. But if that were true, then why do you do the terrible things that you do? Why do you say the terrible things that you say? Why do you act the way that you act? Why do you wear a mask? Who are you hiding from? Why do you lie? Why do you deceive? Who are you protecting? Who needs to be protected? And what are you afraid of? Above all of these questions, what are you afraid of? Because fear is a driving thing behind a lot of things. And fear will also cause your heart to be hardened. Fearing understanding something that you can't believe that you can understand. You can understand it. You just have to want to. Anything in this life that you believe has a purpose and understanding, you can learn to understand it. You just have to want to. How bad do you want to? I know the answer to that for myself, but I can't answer that question for you. You see, I don't want to live this life anymore and look back on it and say no one ever loved me back. I don't want to live like that. I have forced enough people out of my life by not loving them. That's got to stop. I don't want to be that guy anymore. Because I understand why we're here, whereas I didn't understand before. I didn't understand that the reason that we're here is to love each other in a fashion with which causes people to be confused. Why do you love me like this? Because it's who I am. Because it's who I've been turned into. Because it's who God wants me to be. But most importantly, because you deserve it. We all deserve to be loved. But can you give it and know that it's never going to be given back to you no matter how often you try to give it? Because see, if you're not doing that, if you're expecting that love to be returned, you're really not loving anyone. Now, if it's your wife or your husband, and okay, I would expect that love to be returned. And I would hope that you would too. But anyone else, I'll give you an example. There's someone in my life that isn't really in my life anymore. It's kind of a weird thing. But there's someone in a part of my life that through over time has been one of the most influential people in my life and one of the most destructive forces in my life. And I did not want there to be any animosity anymore. I did not want there to be any issues that were left unresolved. There are always going to be unresolved issues. It's just how it is. But I didn't want that to take place in this instance. And so I made peace with it. And I've attempted to make peace in that situation. And now I know that there will never be any kind of reciprocation to the love that I have for this person. And I am perfectly at ease with it. Because it doesn't matter now. All that matters is that every chance I get that I'm being as good as and considerate as I can be. I understand everything in the perspective with which I need to understand it now. And so I move in the direction that says, I'm going to be good because God is good. I'm going to be decent because God is decent. And I'm going to show love because God asked that of me, because God is love. And if I'm not able to do this with the one person that has scarred me the most, I will never be able to do it for anyone else. It's impossible. And I've learned that. And it was one of those moments that it was like an aha moment. You know, you have those aha moments, or it was like a paradigm shift moment. And it's altered the way that I handle looking at things now. And I don't understand it. I don't understand it 1 ounce, but it's a God thing. And that's why I don't understand it, because if it makes sense, then it ain't God. I don't know if I've ever said that before, but I'm saying it now. If it makes sense, it ain't God. But if it doesn't make any kind of logical sense, if you can't put it into a box, if your rational way of thinking is upturned, and if it defies all the laws of nature, the way that we understand it, and physics has no bearing whatsoever on it, then it's God. And the other time, it's just man pretending to be able to explain something away and finds a way to actually achieve it. But in those moments where none of the natural things that exist that make sense to us applies, that's when it's God. And that's what this situation is. And it's therapeutic, but it's also, there's a peace that comes along with being able to be peaceful in a situation where normally you don't want to be peaceful. Normally you want to point and say, I know this and I know that, and you lied here and you lied there and you did this and you did that and it's this, that, and the third. What is the point of that? What is the point of it? Because now you're not doing anything other than being a part of this society that we're not supposed to be a part of anymore. There's no point in any of that. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter. All that matters is doing the complete opposite of everything that the world accepts, because that's exactly who God is. God is the complete opposite of everything that this world says is acceptable. But if you keep walking in the fashion with which the world walks, your heart will stay hard. And just like it states in the word, do not harden your heart as in the day of the rebellion. But wait a minute. When did the rebellion ever end? I don't know if it ever has. Because the people's hearts are still hard. And in The Chosen, the guy who plays Jesus, there's a thing, they're going to the Decapolis, and he goes, we're going to deal with hard hearts. Hearts like granite. That's rough. Granite's excessively hard. If you ever tried to cut granite with anything, good luck with that. That's the world. Even back then, it was like that. It hasn't really changed any. It's just we've become more socially awkward. And I want you to accept me for this. And you have to be tolerant of this. And I'm not getting into it. When you tell someone that they have to do something, you're saying basically, I have no love in me. So therefore, I will put out there that I do not want you to be happy either. So you must do this so that I can have some kind of happiness, because I do not enjoy the fact that you all are happy and I'm not. So tolerate me. Newsflash for people who think this way. Not everybody's always happy, and we don't have to tolerate anything. Don't. But we can choose to care for you. But since you want to tell me that I have to tolerate it, I'm automatically not going to enjoy having to hear that I have to do something, especially when I know I don't have to. But if you ask me to try to understand, if you ask me to try to care, that might be a better way to approach it. Because honestly, I would rather try to understand than be told that I have to tolerate something. Because I don't. No one does. No one has to tolerate anything. But we can choose to try to understand, and we can choose to care. I don't want to have a hardened heart like people who tell me that I have to do something. And I don't think that anyone who follows Jesus should have to hear that you have to do this because I'm telling you to. Well, and Jesus says that I'm supposed to care for you. But at no point does Jesus say that I have to do something you tell me to do. He says I need to follow what he says. And I can care for you. And I can do my best to love you where you are. But I can't find it in there where he tells me that I have to do anything you tell me to do. I'm not going to have your hardened heart and try to order people around. Instead, I'm going to ask them if they need something. Instead, I'm going to ask them if I can help them. Instead, I'm going to ask them, would you like to learn something today? Instead, I'm going to ask them, are you sure you know who Jesus is? Or are you just following what society tells you? This is what Jesus tells me that I'm supposed to do. So that's what I'm going to do. So for the society that believes that a hardened heart is perfectly okay, and that it's all about me anyway, and that I can put on a facade and I can walk around and pretend that everything is okay and make everyone believe that I'm the king of the mountain, and they can believe it or they can leave it, but I'm still going to put that front on. Well, I got something for you, and I really want you to hear this. You're not really fooling anybody, because most of us have probably been down some kind of a road close to the one you've been down anyway. And when we see you acting like somebody that you're not, it's not hard for us to see through it. But instead of trying to put you on blast, I'm going to ask you very politely, hey man, are you all right? Or I'm going to ask the woman that's sitting at the corner of the bar, or the woman who's sitting out on her porch and her face is downcast and she doesn't really want to talk. The point of it is very simple. You might not want to talk because you don't think anyone cares. But what happens when someone walks up and says, hey girl, are you all right? What happens then? This is where you take that heart of flesh and you use it. And you don't let the hardened hearts of people affect it. Don't allow yourself to be so brokenhearted over things that you don't allow Jesus to heal it. Don't allow yourself to walk down a road where you can no longer walk without you feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders and a heart that is broken, and that you feel like you just can't bear it. Instead, find out that you can. You don't have to bear the weight of the world, and you don't have to walk around with a broken heart, but you can be healed. There's a book, and I can't remember the name of it, but it applies to this. There was this little boy, and he'd never been a part of this world. He's always been separated from it, and him and God, he'd had a relationship with God from a very small child. And he became a Christian, I don't know what age it said it was, and then he was baptized, and then God just wrapped this little boy up in himself. And this little boy was able to do things that make no sense because of how he was with God. Well, somehow they found a way to exploit this boy. And they brought him to America and they made him into a sideshow, basically. Now, he was still doing some amazing things. But he finally went and met with one of the most prominent pastors of this age. And I can't remember who it was they said it was. And as he's meeting with him, the little boy and him are having a conversation, and the little boy tells him what's been going on and how hard it's been for him. And the man's just listening. And then finally he turns around and says, you know, son, I can't do what it is that God has given you to do. I can't heal broken bones, and I can't make the sick well, and I can't make the blind see. He goes, you know what's more important than any of that? And the little boy goes, what? He said, healing a broken heart. He said, son, healing a broken arm is all well and good, but healing a broken heart is so much more important. We really don't have to walk this by ourselves. Jesus gives us the option to accept what it is that he died for. He gives us that option to not have to do this all by ourselves. And he gives us this option not because he has to, but because he died to, so that you would never, ever have to wonder if there was someone out there who loved you enough, because he loves you enough. And he doesn't want any of us to have a hardened heart. That's why he can't stand it when someone does. I hope this has been educational enough, and I hope that you found something awesome out of it. Having a hardened heart is something I'm afraid that if the world doesn't sort itself out, it's all it's going to know. But if we don't start praying against the things that this world is accepting as normal, and if we don't start putting ourselves out there into the fire and into the fight itself, then this world is never going to change. It's up to us. My family of believers, it is up to us. We have to pray that God will change things. We have to pray that he will anoint us in a way that we don't fully comprehend. And we have to go out there and show this world a whole other way of living that they don't have to carry a hardened heart inside their chest, but they can have a heart of flesh. And if they once had a heart of flesh and they now have a heart of stone, if they can hear, then they can have their heart returned to them. And that heart of stone will be shattered and given back a heart of flesh. Because the one person that can take a heart of stone and turn it back into a heart of flesh is Jesus. He kind of specializes in it. Well, praise God. I understand hardened hearts are the worst, and it's hard to deal with, but we have to find a way. So just keep pushing. Keep being good. Keep making the King happy. Keep using that heart of flesh and keep lifting up the name so that everyone knows and never has to wonder why you're so different. I hope you all have a great week, and we'll talk to you again next week. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.